Okay, and hello and welcome to another episode of Shipping and Handling. I'm your host, Jennifer Rutten.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget Smith.
We are in the strange interstitial lobby between the bar and the restaurant at the Nebulas.
Woo!
And we have some very special guests around the table. We have my boss, Barry Goldblatt. We have author Jeffy Kennedy. We have author Carrie DiRizzio. So, hi guys. Thanks for coming
and joining us in this weird corner of the...
this weird corner of the bar. When I was setting up the mics, they were just like, this looks like a very involved operation. And I felt like they were looking at me going like, should we ask her to leave? Like, should we ask her to like move along?
What is this strange lady doing in our lobby?
So how's y'all's con so far?
It's going great. This is my first time to Nebula, so...
We
have to talk right into the mic. It's my first time to Nebula Weekend. It's been fabulous. Very
and
fun.
You're, and you're on the SFWA board, right?
Yes, starting next year.
Okay.
Yeah, on the SF... In case you couldn't hear. On the SFWA board, the CEFWA board, I'm a director at large.
Ah.
Which is like free range director, I think.
And you can't see it because this is the radio, but she's wearing a really amazing hat.
Yes.
You can always find Jeffy at a con. Look for the fabulous
hat.
Yes, all of us free-range directors wear big hats because of the sunshine.
And I'm Carrie, and my con is going well as well. Also a first-time Nebula visitor, but it's my home city this year, so I came in part to support Pittsburgh.
Nice.
So what has been the most interesting thing you guys have seen so far this weekend?
The giant group of eighth graders with tubas trying to come through the revolving doors.
From Farquhar Middle School. Which has been an endless source of amusement.
Well, and someone pointed out that what we really should do is start shouting, get out of my swamp. You know. But I was like, I don't know, they're so young, I don't know that Shrek is like a thing for the youths these days. So
I suspect with that school name, there's no way they haven't heard every joke we could have come up with.
Yeah.
I believe the eighth graders were overzealously trying to invite. We had a panel for what teens are looking for in YA, and they tried to invite them to their eighth grade party, and I believe they were told to get out of their swamp.
Like the teens were actually 19-year-old college students. They did not want to go to the eighth grade party.
Well, so in all seriousness, I would say that the best part for me so far was meeting Jane Ullen, because I had not met her before, and she's this year's CEFWA Grandmaster, and I had the opportunity of sitting and talking to her for about 2.5 hours, because I was in the CEFWA con suite at all of the conferences where CEFWA has a presence. We have a con suite, and we volunteer and take turns being door dragon for a couple hours at a time, which means we keep anyone who's not a member out because there's free food and free booze.
And you also keep the free food and free booze in the room.
Yes.
Because you're not allowed to, which I tried to leave with a Diet Coke, and they were not, not excited about that.
Oh, no, no. I'm surprised you are still standing.
I chugged it in about 2 seconds. I didn't know that I still had that ability, but apparently I can still, like, house a Diet Coke in under a minute.
It's part of the Door Dragon skills to be able to singe in place anybody who tries to escape with food. So, but at any rate, Jane Ullen came by, and she sat there. I was being Door Dragon, and she kept me company for over 2 hours. And that was, what an amazing opportunity to get to sit and talk to someone like that for that long. And
because she's written like 350 books, or published 350 books, and written God knows how many more.
And she was talking about how there's the 40 that her agent hasn't been able to sell. And I was like, you know, that's a 90% sell rate, so I think that's pretty good.
I don't think I've sold 350 books, like, yet in my career for my entire list. But
I probably have, right? 350 books.
I don't think it's 350 yet. I don't know. I should. You should figure it out. But I think I kept track for the first few years. I was keeping really good statistics on, you know, how many books I sold, what category they were, et cetera, et cetera. And I got kind of turned off by the whole focus on numbers and metrics, so I stopped. But I would be curious. I mean, since the 17th anniversary is coming up, so yeah, maybe I should look at it again. Maybe actually have real numbers already for the 20th. That gives me 3 years to prepare, right?
You know I love statistics. You know how I feel about spreadsheets.
Maybe I'll put you in charge, Jen.
I'd be happy to.
Jen will be the agency historian.
Actually, Trisha remembers all that stuff. I've only been around for 2 years, so, you know.
She hasn't been around since the beginning either.
But she's been around for longer. Oh. So yeah. And you have clients here, right?
Yeah, Chris Barzak popped in, and Fran Wilde, of course, is here and nominated. And Lorianne Gilman was also here, but has left now. And
she left before the big party.
Yeah, she didn't have a banquet ticket, so, you know, but...
I feel like we all could have just photocopied them, like, on a machine somewhere, because like, the ticket is like construction paper.
They still have a count. Yeah.
I was thinking, because I actually didn't buy a banquet ticket, I was like,
Well, you can still come into the room after the food part, before the awards part starts.
Yeah.
Do they let you, like, scrape off someone else's plate or something?
Well, and that's what I'm doing.
Judging by previous banquets, no one wants to do that.
I'm actually getting to present one of the awards tonight.
Oh, which one?
Novelette. Ooh. Best novelette. Because I'm a novelette kind of gal. Nice.
So novel.
Novels for ladies.
They're like, she's got a big hat. She likes flowers. Let's do it. And Jeffy, you just had a book. You both just had books come out.
Mine's
right?
October 3rd.
October 3rd. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your book?
Okay, so it's Brooding YA Hero, Becoming a Main Character Almost as Awesome as Me. October 3rd from Sky Pony Press, and it's based off of the viral Twitter account, Brooding YA Hero. And it's a meta novel where Broody, who is the archetype brooding boyfriend, is told he can no longer be in books, he's gotten a little problematic. So he writes a book to prove that he can, in fact, star in his own book. So it's illustrated and has activities, quizzes, paper dolls, and some jokes.
And ARCs are going to be available at BEA, right?
Yes.
Oh, man, that's going to be exciting. I'll have to grab one of those. I think my favorite tweet that I saw recently from that was, you hate my girlfriend. You haven't met her, but you're in love with me, so obviously you hate her. Or, like, she's evil or something
yes.
like that. My girlfriend is evil because you want to date,
well, and
you know.
She is the main character of the novel, actually, because you realize early on Broody wants to give up after 3 pages because it's hard to write a book. And Broody's evil ex-girlfriend eggs him on because she wants the secret to becoming a main character. So she realizes early on he has no idea what he's doing, and that's the plot within the plot.
Cool. And you just had a book come out recently, right? The latest Tala book?
Well, that one came out at the end of December.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, so...
It's recently in publishing years. Like, it was only 5 months ago.
Right, it was just yesterday.
Just recently.
It came out at that, speaking of interstitial, that sort of weird time, it was a release date of December 27th.
We just got a publisher to change December 26th. To a time that's before Christmas, so people can buy it as a gift.
Right? And, you know, there were several bookstores who have always been very kind to me who wanted to do signings for me, and as soon as they found out the release date, they were like, oh.
We can't do anything with that.
We can do nothing with this, yeah. I was like, people will have gift cards? And they're like, no.
Not so much. Start a new New Year's Eve tradition where people give each other books.
And apparently this is a funny publishing thing, is that even though it was released in 2016, the copyright date is 2017.
Interesting. Does that mean that you can be eligible for awards in 2016 and 2017?
Well, that's what I think, because I'm apparently not eligible for 2016 awards because they go by copyright date.
Oh.
So...
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm just going to
kind
enter
of a dick move, but interesting.
Yeah, right.
So I was the intern for Cereal Box Publishing, which is serialized fiction, and ours that span 2 years, it's the later of the 2 years that it counts for the award year. So I'm guessing the late December ones might fall in there as well.
They all have different.
Yeah.
All different requirements.
Yeah. But what is that book called? And tell us about the series.
Oh, sorry, I'm so bad at that.
Pimp yourself out to our tens of listeners. Actually, we had nearly 3,000 downloads in April. So
wow, good for you girls. Wow. This is called The Edge of the Blade, and it is the second book in the Uncharted Realms series, or the fifth book in the overall 12 Kingdoms series, depending on how you slice it. They went ahead and called the original trilogy the 12 Kingdoms, and then when we went on that became the Uncharted Realms, because I keep adding kingdoms was really the problem.
They're uncharted because they just keep becoming more of them.
Exactly, exactly. So that's a fun book because this is my pansexual heroine. She is just sort of has a general lust for life and a nice, yes, and everyone in it.
Cackle, cackle.
She's a knife fighter and she... gets accidentally sent as a spy to the Dasnarian Empire, which is incredibly repressive of women. Mm-hmm. And she's a woman who has no filter, so she makes a terrible terrible spy. Mm-hmm. So hijinks ensue.
Excellent, excellent. I have to tell you, so I gave the Mark of the Tala to my aunt. And usually my aunt sort of like waits for me to like bring her books. She independently went out, and she like taught herself how to like use her e-reader. On her phone.
To get the rest of the books?
To get the rest of the series. So
that's
she's a
awesome.
Huge fan. I mean, I'm obviously a huge fan of yours, but she's a huge fan of yours. And she's like, oh my God, I just love those books.
And the Mark of the Tala is the first of the whole
exactly,
series.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because you had given me, I had lent her the arc that you had signed for me. And I got it back, for mercifully. I was just like, I was worried that I wasn't going to get it back. Because she was just like, I love it so much. But so since we have you guys all here, and it's an interesting cross-section of publishing, you know, when you sort of choose to attend a con like the Nebulas, you know, what are you hoping to kind of, like, do here, get out of it? Bear, you go first.
I mean, mostly I'm here to see friends and celebrate clients. And, I mean, Nebulas, it's a nice low-key con. It's small.
It's
small and manageable. Yeah. So you really do feel like you can see everybody if you need to, if you want to. Eventually you'll cross paths with just about everybody. But it's a good opportunity. There's lots of good, like, small conversations rather than, like, big party rooms full of people that you can't actually talk to because it's too loud to hear them.
Right.
So that's been good. Yeah, it's obviously I'm here to celebrate Fran and Nisi, who are both nominated, and that's awesome. And you know, lots of other cool people that I love who are also nominated, and that's always fun. We don't really have an Academy Awards, so but it's a chance. You know, everybody gets to dress up and be all shiny and sparkly, and that's fun too. So.
You probably missed the question. She was going to get a glass so that she could have some of this really very good rosé.
Yes.
Yeah.
It should be. It's very expensive.
Oh, is it? You have excellent taste, darling.
Thank you. It's actually the cheapest bottle on the menu.
Oh, really?
But it's about at least two times what you would pay for it in the store.
Well, so that's all that much better.
Yes, it just the atmosphere infuses it, and it becomes a fancy wine.
The ambiance. So I think most important to me at cons like this, I was talking with a gal who's my mentee. I hate that word, but we were mentoring people at this conference.
But yes.
Yes. And.
You're
going to
get mentored.
Mentor Yora. And I was saying that anymore at conferences, I almost never go through the workshop list and plan anything out ahead of time. Because what's most important to me, the only things I really schedule in are social engagements. You know, having lunch or coffee and getting to talk to people. Because that's the one thing at a con that you really can't replicate anywhere else. You know, you can get online classes, you can listen to the podcasts, you know, you can listen to the recordings. But you can't replicate those one-on-one conversations. And people will say things to you in person that they won't ever say anywhere where it could be like, reproduced for
the Twitter retweets and screenshots and all of that. Like, it's there for posterity, and I was like,
you should hear the stuff that we edit out of this podcast sometimes. You're like, oh right, we can't actually put that on the internet.
I think for me it was interesting. So my background is in YA, so I've been to a lot of the YA conferences for SCBWI mainly, and they're very, very regimented. Am I close enough? Very regimented, almost like a school setup where you wake up at 8 and you go to the conferences in the morning, and then you have a lunch with everyone, and then you go to two more panels in the afternoon.
Dear God.
And then you have dinner. And those were all I knew, and then I went to World Fantasy.
The long pretend like Jeff Martz, the Prince Honors.
And I went to World Fantasy in the fall, and I was introduced to BarCon, and like the idea of sitting around and meeting people and chatting. So then I went to an SCBWI conference and I tried to replicate this. And I tried to bring people to the bar from their panels. And they looked at me like I suggested we like run outside and start like go streaking as opposed to civilly discussing things.
Bar.
Oh my god, it's so So I really enjoy the casual conversations that happen at cons. Yeah.
It really is. It's nice to be able to make those connections with people because there are a lot of people here who like... There are people who I've had conversations with who I'm like, I know that it would be almost impossible to actually have the same conversation on Twitter. Like, theoretically, it's accessible, but it's hard to make that happen. You don't really get into the same kind of depth. It takes longer to get to the same level of comfort in a conversation.
Well, and also the feeling I get with Twitter is that, you know, you're having a conversation with someone, but it's almost like you're on TV and like people are watching you have the conversation, so you can't actually have, you know, you can't have like the asides or kind of like, this is what I think kind of thing. Like,
it's like, tell me what books you really hate.
Yeah.
And Twitter is interesting in that it's either completely public or very private, so like you can message and be like, could I direct message you? And that's like a very like, we are now going to have this discussion.
It's like, DM, winky face.
Yeah, well, my favorite phrase is slide into the DMs. Just like, hello. Now we're DMing. We've also been joined by Kellen Sparrow, one of my clients. He's over here. We're talking about why we come to cons like this and what we hope to get out of them.
Oh, definitely to slide into each other's DMs in person.
Is it a DM if it's just like your face?
Yes.
Like, slide into your face.
There is a very handsome astronaut who I would not mind sliding into my face. I'm sorry, my boss is right here, but oops, he's so handsome. It just drives me out of my mind.
Also, he's an astronaut. How are you allowed to be both handsome and an astronaut?
I think it's a requirement, actually.
Well, did you see the... I guess he talked the rest of his like crew from his spaceship into doing like a Star Wars themed photo ship. It's a spaceship. It's the International Space Station.
He motioned me, so I came over. He goes, "My daughter thought you were really funny," and I was like, "Oh."
I'm happy, but also I'm sad. But he made everyone do like a Star Wars themed photo shoot where they're all wearing like Jedi outfits and carrying lightsabers, and he signed my, he's like, may the force be with you. And I was just like,
And there is a picture of Jen and I like fawning
over him. Gazing
into
his face.
Just like his backside.
Sarah Pinsker took the picture.
I know.
She's responsible. I hadn't even seen the rear view.
I will say, it was a very good argument for the existence of jumpsuits for men. Since we're now having the romp him conversation.
I don't know. It was so funny on Twitter last week, you know, the sort of tonal dissonance is like, treason, rompers, why not? So besides IRL DM sliding, is there anything that you get out of these kinds of conferences? Because I know you've done a couple of panels.
I like panels, but I do like to conserve my energy during the day because I'm an introvert, so I tend to like stick to myself, take naps, but I can watch other people through their, like, the hashtags. But then I do like to make sure that I schedule a couple that I want to see. And then, you know, for me, cons are just, like, a sleepover with all my best colleague friends.
And Bottomless Shirley Temples.
And Bottomless Shirley Temples, which I'm drinking right now once again. And I do really feel like this is a place where we can have more honest discussions that we can't necessarily have live, like you said, like you're on television, kind of on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there are some sort of aspects of being an author where if you do have critical thoughts about a book that aren't mean critical thoughts, but actual real critical thoughts that, like, can I say this? Will it be immortalized? Will this author see it? Like, and if you want to be able to have that deeper discussion about a book or a topic, you can have that at a con face-to-face with lots of really smart, insightful people from all over publishing, whether that is on a panel or later in the bar.
Yeah.
Or earlier in the bar.
Or much, much later in the bar. I feel like the after-midnight session is sort of like when the real, like, truth comes out. You're like, I thought that was garbage.
The hotel bars keep closing.
I know.
Well, it's open until 2 tonight, because I asked.
Thank God.
Because the first night, it was like 11:30, leave. And we're like, but mom isn't even asleep right now. Like,
that was also the case at ReaderCon last year. They were like, guys, you got to be out of the bar. It's midnight. And we were like, it's a Saturday. And we are. We're,
do you
we
hate money?
Here. Like,
do you hate
there
money?
There are dozens of people here who would like to continue giving you money for alcohol.
Yes.
And like.
For incredibly overpriced yes. alcohol.
Just. Please let us keep doing this. Why do you hate money?
At the recent RT convention, the bar didn't open until 4 o'clock.
Oh, no.
And we were like, what? You mean we can't? Don't you understand
like,
who
I thought,
we are?
I thought sci-fi fantasy people drank, but until I went to my first RT, I don't think that I even understood like how hard people could throw down until I went to my first RT.
Something interesting that I learned this weekend, actually from Jeffy, at the swag panel, is apparently wine charms are a really common piece of swag for romance authors.
Wine charms are great.
They're like, I was
they're
like,
adorable.
That makes so much sense. It's so clever, so fun. It wouldn't work in either YA or SFF, but I really love that.
One
it's a
illegal
thing.
Bee space wine?
Yes.
We had space ice cream last night at the side.
Oh, the nitrogen, yeah.
Yes.
That freaked me out. I was not into that.
Well, see, space wine comes in squeezy bottles, so you can't really put charms on that.
I guess that's true. I'm sure that one of the Vorkosigan books has space wine
space
in it.
Wine. Space
I,
wine.
How do you keep from confusing your space wine with another space wine, though? I mean, there must be a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A charm.
A little clip on the metal squeezy bag. So if it's like a Capri Sun, you can punch a little hole in the bottom.
Oh. There's a little loop on it so you can swivel a charm through it.
This is an untapped market we've
found. See, Barry's actually never listened to the podcast, so this is kind of like an interesting introduction for him. Other than at World Fantasy.
I listened to you.
Yes, when we recorded with Steve Saffel.
Yes, he hosted us in his hotel room.
Because he had not checked out yet, and yes. We needed a quiet place to record. And I had just had my first job interview with him that weekend.
Yeah, he got to see a real full... exploration of who Jen is.
Of me as a person. Yeah.
Before hiring her.
Before me.
Pretty much the best possible.
Yeah.
Like, better than you can ever possibly get in an interview.
In an interview, yeah. It was.
And then he hired you, so clearly it went well.
I tricked him. No. But yeah, this is my first Nebula Weekends as well.
Same.
I was trying to explain to someone in the elevator, because there's... It's like a deceptively large hotel. And
yeah.
So there's not only the Lord Farquaad Middle School marching band. I don't even know if they are the marching band. I've just decided that they must be the marching band.
They're just
people
who like bringing
bases,
their tubas.
Though, so
I
don't think they march.
I don't think they're a marching band. I think they're a concert band.
Like a concert band. Yeah. Well, I grew up with the Rice University Marching Owl Band, which they literally, like, take their bases and, like, run around the field. Louie Louie is also their fight song, so, like, they don't win a lot of football games, let's say. But I was trying to explain to someone in the elevator, and he was like, oh, so what's going on? I was like, you know, this is the Nebula Awards. It's one of the big sci-fi fantasy, genre awards. And he's like, oh, so it's just a bunch of nerds. I was like, I mean, it's a bunch of writers and professionals in the area. You know, it's a conference.
Who are
it's
also nerds.
Dressed up nerds.
Fancy nerds.
Controlling your entire world, so really don't piss us off.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation Thursday night with some random guy in the bar. We were both like...
As one does.
There was one random guy in the bar last night who kept calling me young lady, and I was just bro.
Was he the drunk guy with the tattoos?
The beard?
Yeah. Yes. He got really feisty by the end of the night.
His date he kept saying his date is really into science fiction. Turns out she's a big comic book geek, but had never really
he
read it.
He also left the bar in an ambulance.
Oh, wait. I missed that part.
Drama.
As
do
in,
tell.
Stop telling this story.
Okay. So,
slide into the DM.
At least I have put this together as in, so he got drunker and drunker. It was getting about 1:30 in the morning. He disappeared. And then I, shortly after, went outside to get my Uber, and lo and behold, there was an ambulance, and they were closing the doors and driving away. So I can only assume that he disappeared into the car, because we did not see him go towards the elevators.
Okay. So
this is when the camera pans around the table, and everyone's giving kind of a puzzled
look. Bemused faces?
Bemused faces.
Anyway... So this guy I was talking to, so I'm like eating my dinner, and he's got his dinner, and he's like, "Are you at the conference here?" And I was like, "Okay, where's this conversation gonna go?" He's like, "Yes."
Okay, here we go.
He's like, "So it's a science fiction conference," and I was like, "Yep, yep, it's the like big Science Fiction Writers of America conference with an award ceremony."
May I hasten to correct? Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. It's okay. The silent missing F.
Yes.
go ahead.
So I was explaining this all to him, and I kind of expected the conversation to go in that direction. I was expecting him to be like, "Ah, so you're all a bunch of nerds then." But instead he was like very open to this conversation, and he didn't read a lot of SFF himself, but he was like very sort of amenable to it and was like, "Oh yeah, so you guys, I bet you read a lot of books then." Like, "I always like to read, but you know, it's hard. I can only get like through one book a month." And I'm like, and I just finished telling him I read about 10 manuscripts a month in addition to about a published book a week. And he was like, "Oh, so you're a really fast reader then." And I was like, for normal people, yes. For publishing, not actually really. But I was surprised at how open he was and how he like didn't take any opportunities to make awkward jokes about science fiction people
it's
or
sad
nerds.
That's like a thing that we have
I was
to like
remember. I was not. I
wasn't a dick.
Yeah.
Tracy is taking a picture of us.
Hello.
Long-time listeners will know because she always asks excellent, insightful questions.
Yes.
And is also, I think, the only person who is still doing the Vorkosigan Saga book club with us.
One download, like, per day.
Well, the next one is about space obstetricians, so Ethan Bathos, get ready. Brace yourself. Space obstetrician on a planet full of men.
Obsolescence. Space obsolescence.
It's wild. It's a wild ride.
Anyway.
So, with your new friend at the bar who was not mean to science fiction fantasy, I ran into... So I worked downtown Pittsburgh, so I was like trying to leave and go to this conference, and I ran into a casual friend, and I was like, "Fine, I will... say I'm going to the Nebulas, it's a science fiction and fantasy convention." He goes, "I read books. I read those books." And I was like, "What books?" He's like, "Science fiction and fantasy books." And I was like, "Okay." And then he grabs my arm and goes, "When is George R. R. Martin coming to the conference?" And I was like, "He might be there, he might not." And then he starts naming off many dead authors, and I didn't have like his heart to tell him that these authors that he loves their books, he will not be able to get them signed at the grand sign.
Tracy, pull up a chair.
My Lyft driver turned out to be into Magic the Gathering and had done cosplay.
That's adorable.
So he's like, will there be cosplay at this conference? And I'm like, sadly, no. This is like the only one where...
I'm staying at my aunt's apartment this weekend.
It is so nice.
It's beautiful. But when I called her to ask if I could stay with her, and she was like, "Oh, what are you coming into town for?" I was like, "It's this science fiction conference." And she was like, "Is it the furries conference?"
No.
And she was like kind of joking, but also
apparently
Pittsburgh hosts one of the largest furry conventions in the world.
Yes, it's actually at the convention center.
Yeah. So she was like, "Yeah, it's wild. Like come to town and you see people walking around in costumes."
Pittsburgh actually loves
not
loves
going
it.
To that.
The voice you have just heard is our latest addition, Ann Kopchick, one of my clients. We also have Tracy Townsend joining us, one of Bridget's clients. Speaking of, you know, people were very excited to see. The first night I got here at the cocktail reception, I was talking with Mary Robinette Kowal, and it was just after she had shamed me for not purchasing a badge. I then went out and purchased a badge so that she would not shame me more publicly later. I saw Connie Willis like walk by behind her, and I made this noise that I wasn't sure that my body could actually make because I love Connie Willis so much. Like, I've read almost everything she's ever written, and I love her so much. And she walked by, and I was just like, and I like clutched to whoever I was. I think I was standing next to you. And I just like clutched you, and I was just like, and you were just like, "Are you? Did you just have some kind of seizure?" And I was like, "No, it's just Connie Willis is right there."
I think that like one of the reasons why the Nebulas has become one of my favorite conferences is because it has a very like. historic and like glamorous and momentous like atmosphere to it, especially if you attend the actual award ceremony and go to the banquet. Last year it was in a
such a beautiful hotel that like had frescoes like painted on the ceiling. And the air was that I was there when something was happening. Like all these amazing authors had gathered in one place like to celebrate like those who'd been nominated by the professional organization for our genre. And pardon me. So like this, when people asked what I was doing, I said, oh, I'm going to an awards ceremony this weekend. Oh, what kind of awards? Oh, science fiction and fantasy, like, awards. Oh, such and such. You know, I would take it from there, because for me, this con is not just about seeing everyone, but it's about being here for something, like, momentous, you know? Great authors who will be remembered are writing things now.
Especially, you know, an award that's been around for so long. It's so cool to know that, you know, there's, like, a, you know, a chain going back in time through. And it's funny to watch that chain change. Of, like, who is getting the awards now versus who was nominated for the awards maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And, you know, seeing the sort of genre change with the times, or attempt to change with the times, as it sometimes happens.
It's also particularly interesting because this is sort of, this is not like the Oscars. It's like the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Yeah.
It's the Writers Award given out by other writers.
Yeah.
And so it really is the people who are most admired by the body of people producing the work today and historically. And so that's particularly interesting because it's, I mean, I was talking about this earlier, but the Andre Norton Award in particular always turns up really interesting, really good stuff in a way that a lot of the other SFFYA awards don't really do. But you get like the really, every time I look at it, I'm like, this is an astounding list of books.
Yeah.
So it's particularly fun to be in the company of the people who are both being honored and who are doing the honoring.
Mm-hmm.
I was, one of my favorite moments from the What Teens Like in YA panel earlier was right at the very end. It was just this like quick little moment where one of the panelists, it was three teenagers and Jane Yolen were on the panel. And so one of them at the very end was reiterating something that Jane Yolen had said, and she goes, as Jane said, oh my god, I'm just sitting next to Jane Yolen. Okay, moving on. And I found that so charming.
The teens are so charming. I was hanging out with them at Starbucks this morning, and I was just like, you know, I believe the children are our future. .mp3. I was just like, so endearing.
They're charming and incredibly smart. Their panel was
well,
incredible.
And then, bless his heart, there was this very nice man working on the consuite, and he was just like, because I was telling everyone at the table that I was getting ready to go to this panel. I was going to go to the youths panel. And he was like, I've never heard a teenager say an honest opinion in my life. And I was just like, you haven't met, like, very nice teenagers. Like,
or you haven't actually been listening to them.
Or you haven't been listening to them. I'm sure that, you know, he was just trying to, like, make conversation, but I was just like,
That's how you choose to make conversation?
Like, bro, my dude. That's not the way to go.
Oh, I was just going to say, along the lines of the history, there's kind of a cool story about the whole CEPWA thing and the missing F. But I just love this because they had named it SFWA, Science Fiction Writers of America, and way back when, and apparently Anne McCaffrey got into a knockdown, drag-out fight with Heinlein and Silverberg. And insisted, I mean, I love this. Yes! And she insisted that fantasy be added to the name. And there was, like, a huge vote about whether it should be SFFWA. And they, like, you would have had to, they would have had to, like, change the incorporation and take it into the bylaws and everything. And so that was when they finally decided, okay, they would not add the extra F, but when it's written out or spoken the full word, that you're supposed to add the fantasy. And it's all because of kick-ass Anne McCaffrey.
I stand corrected, Anne McCaffrey. I apologize.
Yes, because you don't want her shade coming to get you.
I do have to say, this is one of the things I love about cons. So when I swung by, it was you two hosting, and Barry had already sat down, and I was invited to sit, and you were sitting here as well. And now the numbers have doubled, and people have just pulled up more chairs, and everyone has these awesome thoughts. And this happens every time you sit for like 15 minutes. You just get surrounded by people more, like, the awesomeness just keeps growing.
I remember at WorldCon in 20... What's Sasquan? That was 2015? What year was Spokane on fire?
2014.
No, Spokane was
2015.
Yes, Spokane was. Yeah, 15.
Yeah, because then it was.
No,
I went to World Fantasy in 2015, and
no,
that was Saratoga, and so and yeah. you had that was
yeah
that was not the same time.
It was the same year, though. It was the same year. Yeah, it was the same year. Yeah,
it
was the darkest timeline year. We talked about this. No, but I remember being at. There was one bar that ended up being sort of the inadvertent BarCon hotel, and I remember being there. It was maybe the first or second night, and I remember sitting there with like Elizabeth Baer and Catherine Valente, and like just having this conversation. And I sort of like. Stepped outside myself and remembered interviewing for my first job in publishing, and I had just read Catherine Valente's Palimpsest, and I talked about that like in my interview of like, you know, what were the last 10 books you'd read, and I sort of had this like out of body experience, like this is the thing I do now on the regular, like this is like now a professional requirement for me to go out and hang out with these people that I've just like been obsessed with forever.
It's like, oh. Okay, so
and it just happened organically, like you said. You know, I was sitting there, and then she came over and started talking, and then other people joined us, and it just kind of became this big sort of, you know.
I had one of those moments too. It was at a World Fantasy.
Up
into the mic. I had one of those moments at World Fantasy. I think it was one in Toronto where I sat down like in front of the Starbucks, and there was a bunch of people, and I was like, oh my god, I'm sitting next to Carol Berg. Oh my god, I'm sitting next to Carol Berg, and she looks at my name tag. And she says, oh, I've heard of you. And I was like, you can't see the expression, but the whole, you know, very shocked face, you know. And it turns out she was in a writing group with somebody I know who was also in the same writing group. And they had talked, and my other friend had talked about me to Carol Berg. And she remembered my name. And it was just one of these things of, I'm starting to get into this genre and people actually know my name even though they don't actually know me, even though I don't have anything really published, but I'm around enough people that you kind of get to be known.
Yeah. So. This is Tracy Townsend. Hi. And I'm sorry that I probably sound rather awful, but I'm either losing my voice because everyone is wonderful and talking to me a lot, or because I have early onset con crud. So I'm leaning over Barry's shoulder now, which means you're going to die. I'm sorry. But going back, way back to what Kellen was saying earlier, I went to Nebulas for the first time last year in Chicago, the same one that you were talking about. And the thing about it that was most impressive to me, other than the fabulous programming, the fabulous people, was everybody treated me like a grown-up, even though, you know, I had my super secret book deal that had just come together. That had just come together during that week and was still not sort of speakable or announceable, and so that was exciting, and it was fun to move around in circles of people and to be taken seriously. And when my answer to the question of, so what do? Are you a writer? Or you'd say, well, I am a writer who has things, and I have a person who does a very good job representing things. Yes, that one right there. And that, for the next response to be like, that's so great, as opposed to like, and sort of the sniff and the walk away, which I had half expected, was so thoroughly kind of galvanizing for me. And they're like, okay, I can do this. I'm a big girl now. I'm going to go around and do fun things. And to be able to go to the banquet and sit next to Ken Liu and talk to him all night. I'm sure if Ken Liu ever sees me again, he will run the opposite direction as fast as possible. But it was,
he's very nice, though.
He is. He's deeply, and now I know a lot about. We know a lot about each other's baseball fandoms now. So that was something we had to talk about. Other than the fact that I loved his book and went gaga over it, so it was a wonderful experience. And you know, Carrie was talking about this too. That just people kind of glom onto one another's circles. There's this sort of like magnetic attraction of people to people. You know, the other day we were gathering up people for dinner, and it was like, you're a people. Do you eat things? Come eat things with us, for we are also people. And then everything else sort of unfolds from there.
So going off, there's also an interesting, it's almost like everyone is a professional, and that's how they identify, rather than like, I've been to different conferences where it's like, okay, publish big five, sit here. Publish small press, sit here. Agents sit in that corner. Editors in that corner.
And now you fight.
Yes. And now it's the Hunger Games. Go.
Thunderdome.
But this one, like, we were at dinner, and someone didn't realize that there was someone who was basically one of their idols at the table, and the name was dropped, and then they went, oh my goodness! And they're like, but we're all eating food. Let's get back to normal after the squeeing. And it was really cool.
I really enjoyed a similar moment last night where I was sitting at the bar between Carrie and Lindsay Rebar. And so over the course of about a minute and a half, it was revealed that Carrie was the mastermind behind Brooding YA Hero, and Lindsay is the author of Rocks Fall, Everyone Dies, which is nominated for the Andre Norton this year. And both of them, as soon as they figured this out, looked at each other and went, oh my God, that's you!
There was a lot of high-pitched squeeing after that.
This is actually my first Nebulas, so I'm the sort of
same
newbie of the group, and I do have to say it is a very professional convention. I mean, like, the people here are very professional, it's also very friendly too. It's not like you have to be, you know, have your I'm a business person type professional all the
time. Although technically you are the most business like person at this table.
It's true.
They're wearing a waistcoat right now. It's great.
So yeah, it's just been lovely because everybody takes you seriously when you need to be taken seriously. I mean, there's a lot of fun too.
It is a pro con. I mean, you know, this is not a convention where there are fans. I mean, other than us, we're all fans to ourselves. But you know,
especially Jen of Connie Willis.
I hope she never hears this.
So you know, there's. That's one of the things I think that's nice about it. I also really like that it's. I don't know if it's always been this way, but at least since I've been coming, it stays put for 2 years in a row. So it's in the same spot, same city for 2 years at a time. So it's just, you get to sort of come back to something a little more familiar than, like, oh, what city are we in this time? Okay, look around. Yeah. So.
But it does make the calculation about what year something happened a little more difficult than.
Is that the first year in this city or the second year in that city? Yeah.
Hopefully we won't have Penguins. I can't say that. I was going to be like, hopefully we don't have Penguins playoffs games. But then I realized I'm a Pittsburgh native, and if this gets out, I will be hunted down.
Hopefully we will have, or hopefully they'll be over and the Penguins will have won or something like that.
Magically. Hockey has just ended and the Penguins have won everything. Yes.
And it's great to hear, here I'm speaking as incipient CEPWA board member, but it's great to hear that so many people are first-timers at this convention and that people are liking it, because CEPWA's really been working hard, the board, over the last couple of years to bring this conference up to a level where a lot of people want to come and are getting really great things from it, more than just the Nebula ceremony, so.
Yeah, I have to confess, I came because Tracy told me to come. So she had such a great time last year that she talked two of my other clients into coming this year, and then I had like a whole posse. So I was like, I guess I should go and hang out with my clients. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's been pretty great to be able to actually meet them in person, which I don't always get to do, and get to sort of show them off to the other people I know. And be like, you should all read Tracy's book. It's wonderful and very, very smart.
I described what I do as sort of like, I'm the hype man. I'm the person that like precedes the boxer like into the ring with like the sign. I'm like, yes! You know? Well, we have a couple of interesting questions from the internet that I think would be interesting to get people's kind of take on. A Cool Shades Anon asked, we call them Cool Shades Anon because the anonymous sign on Tumblr is this little circle wearing sunglasses. A question, does short fiction ever have any bearing on whether or not you want to sign an author? I know for the most part authors don't need agents to actually publish individual short stories, but have you ever read a short story by a writer and wanted to sign them because of that? Or has short fiction ever swayed you when you're unsure?
Yes. No, I literally emailed someone because I read a short story of theirs and I thought it was just absolutely wonderful and completely in line with my own sensibility in fiction. And I was like, please, if you ever write a novel, send it to me. I really love the way you write. But also, if I get a query from someone who has certain, especially for SFF, certain magazines listed in their credentials, I'm like, oh, you're probably interesting and good. Barry?
Yeah, I think that's one of the actual advantages in terms of being proactive in a client search, I guess. In adult, we do have these venues where writers are sort of testing out smaller work, you know, shorter work, not smaller work, but you know, short stories are being published in lots of venues, and we can sort of see a writer sort of developing in that way. You know, YA and middle grade, there really aren't venues for YA short fiction. There's been a couple of magazines that have sort of come and gone, but it's usually people who are in those magazines are already well-established writers, and it's not new writers. So yeah, it is kind of a great way to sort of spot upcoming talent. And you know, then you come down to the challenge of, okay, I can see this is a really good writer and they're really writing great short fiction. Should I offer now? Even if I don't know they have a novel, maybe they don't want to write a novel. Who knows? Yeah. You know, it is a chance to sort of scout for talent that way.
I fully confess I do not read a lot of short fiction, which I know is like a moral failing. But what I do read is a lot of, would you like to join us? He was at the bar, but I don't know where he is now.
You have to say who it was.
Jane Yolen.
That was Jane Yolen looking for Patrick Nielsen Hayden. that you look fabulous. I love that jacket. You don't have to. It's fine. You don't have to. You don't want to. Now you have to.
Who are you podcasting to?
So this is our podcast. We're both agents, and we've stayed in your home, and it was wonderful. As we keep reminding you this weekend, but
I almost remember.
but Jane Yolen is obviously, you know, an amazing writer of
Grandmaster.
I'm actually.
Why isn't it Grand Mistress? That actually sounds a little sexy.
Also, possibly something completely different.
Exactly.
Well, we had briefly talked about, you know, if she's a grandmaster, she needs an amazing hat. And I definitely Googled, like, Pope hat plus LED light to see if there was any one-day Amazon availability. And tragically, there was not.
Oh, that would have been so perfect.
I'm going to make it happen. You're just going to get one, and you're going to get to wear it as, like, an emeritus. You know, just like...
No, but what I really wanted to wear... was that this little child had written a book report on me and said, Jane Yolen, he wanted to say Jane Yolen is a genius, and it said, Jane Yolen is a Guinness. And I put this on Facebook, and two T-shirts saying, I am a Guinness have shown up.
I think you should do that as like a giveaway for your books or something. That would be, I would buy that. I would buy that.
I want it. I don't want to give it away.
You can give it like shirts in the mail now that say Jane Yolen is a Guinness.
Yes. Well, no, I have two now. So.
Oh, okay. So you need them.
I need them. Yes.
Well, thank you for giving a visit, and I hope you find him. I have seen him like in recent moments, but I don't know where he went.
She was like my gateway drug into science fiction and fantasy.
She also has the most amazing house.
Oh my god.
So everybody's been telling me.
Oh my god.
The attic. And then she started telling an incredibly creepy story about how I could come visit, and then she was just going to keep me in the attic. And I was just like, I wouldn't mind that actually. That'd be fine. That's fine. So I was saying earlier, I don't, you know, I'm not sort of au courant with a lot of like short fiction that's published especially the nominees and stuff like that, but I seek out writers from fan fiction a lot, and often that is almost a short story market, because it's usually shorter stories, it's not often novel length work, but if I can see someone that has really great writing, I'm just like, hey, do you have something that's not copyrighted characters, and would you like to send it to me? But I think we have...
I was not previously a short fiction writer until I started reading Slush for Tor.com back in the old days.
The old days. That was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, that was not that long ago.
Yeah, because you're ancient.
It was my first paying job in publishing, was reading Slush for Tor.com. And that was very much a crash course in what works in short fiction and what doesn't work in short fiction. And it was... So I sort of... honed my taste really well there, and actually two of the people I emailed to be like, I love your short fiction, please send me your novel, were published on Tor.com. I got to shape their sensibility a little bit, which was kind of nice.
Well, do you guys have any questions for us? now that you've, you know, we usually have a Q&A that's like from Twitter, but since we have like a live audience, it's totally fine if you don't.
There are too many of our clients here.
And
my
not
agent doesn't respond to any of my emails.
Don't stick the mic in the line.
What's your most memorable con moment from any con
that you can say out loud?
In case you didn't
You're
hear
welcome.
That was that we can talk about in person. I've had some memorable moments. I mean, I think I've talked about a lot of them. Jeffy's running away. Bye, Jeffy.
Goodbye.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah, go change.
Oh, yeah. I can't really think of anything that I haven't already said. Mostly it's just me freaking the ever-loving fuck out about Connie Willis. one of my most memorable moments, just because it's one of those, like, the one that got away, is last year at Worldcon, I got some kind of hideous bronchitis situation the last night. And I would have been able to go to George R. R. Martin's, like, Hugo Losers party. And I was
It's okay,
so,
I went on your behalf.
I know, but I was ill and, like, just sort of, like, in my hotel room, like, on my phone going, like, like, it was so horrible.
One that comes to mind for me is a fairly embarrassing one, and it's not an SFF moment. It's an SCBWI one. So one of my first few years as an agent, my boss had me accompany her to the SCBWI New York Conference VIP party, which is just like a cocktail party on a Friday night for people in publishing and writers and whatnot. And so she, one of her clients had worked on a project with Tommy DePaola, and so she was like, oh, you should come meet Tommy. And I was like, yes, okay. And now he was the first author signing I ever went to, back when I was a small child. He like had a new picture book come out, and so we went to the books to like he had a signing in Connecticut, and so we went to it, and it was all very exciting for me. And so I was introduced to Tommy DePaola, and I was like, and he was like, "It's very nice to meet you." And I was like, "You were the first author I ever met."
Bless.
And he's like,
"Bless your
okay.
heart."
I'm guessing you were much smaller then. I was like, yes.
So what are you reading right now, Bridget?
I am currently reading a book called The Probability of Miracles by Wendy Wonder, spelled with a U, and apparently that is, in fact, her real last name.
Wait, U-O... Wait,
no, W-U-N-D-E-R. Yeah.
Sure, Jan. Okay.
But it's about a girl who has terminal cancer, and she's sort of reached a point where there's nothing else they can do to treat her, but her mother sort of refuses to accept this, and so she carts the family off to a town in Maine where supposedly miracles happen. And so I'm about halfway through, and it's I like the narrator. She's you can see like how this is affecting her mentally, but you still are very interested. You like really want her to be okay, and you're like, I know that you don't think that you will be, but I'm hoping that this book means that you will. And so it's also, as a person who has often visited Maine and is fond of Maine, I really enjoy the sort of like
on Golden Pond,
town,
but YA,
yes, small town coastal flavor there.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying that. What about you, Jen?
Well, I just finished rereading Winter's Tale by Mark Halperin. It is my favorite book of all time, basically. It is so bonkers. It makes so little sense. It should not have worked at all, but I love it so much. And I started rereading it because I've recently developed a weird Colin Farrell thing, and I had completely
forgotten. That's not weird.
It's a little weird. I had forgotten that he was cast as Peter Lake in the really, really fucking awful 2014 adaptation of Winter's Tale. I mean, he's described in the book as, like, short and balding with, like, a terrible ginger mustache. And they're like, I know. Here's this hunk. Like, Peter Lake, let's do it. So I just finished rereading that. And then I started reading The Best of Connie Willis because I bought the short story collection. And then I had her sign it. And, you know, definitely made a little bit of an ass of myself, you know, at the signing. But it was fine. It was cool. Faith, Kellen's friend Faith, had a much better story because Kellen and her new husband are reading To Say Nothing of the Dog to one another, which is just about the cutest thing that I've ever fucking heard in my life. So she signed, so Connie Willis signed her like very well-loved copy of To Say Nothing of the Dog, you know, to both of them. And I was like, I'm just a weird, sad nerd who loves you. There you go.
So let's go around. Carrie, what are you reading right now?
So I am actually cannot remember what I'm reading. No, I just wrapped up an arc, so I have to remember that's Mask of Shadows by Lindsay Miller.
Oh, cool.
So that is a genderqueer wannabe assassin who takes part in these queen's tournament to become the chosen assassin of the queen, where they all wear these like masks made of gemstones so no one can see their face, and they kill people. And it's wonderful, and it's out this summer. So that's my mild cheat because it's an arc, but that's the nice thing that happens.
Yeah, that's what arcs are for.
I also just finished, I can only listen to audiobooks lately, so I just re-listened to Jurassic Park and The Lost World because I was like, man, dinosaurs, need them in my life. But I will probably be starting something new after my book swag from the Nebs.
Yeah, we got a whole big bag of books.
So many. I have no idea how I'm going to get them
home. I don't know how I'm going to get them home.
It's going to be a tragedy. We'll find out.
Luckily, I'm local, so I just took them to my car and drove them home.
Shut up!
Sorry. I am currently in the middle of reading The Lawrence Brown Affair by Sebastian.
It's so good.
And it's a male Regency romance with a grifter with a heart of gold, and because he's trying so hard not to have a heart, and he's failing miserably.
It's like, all I wanted to do was rob you.
I want to rob you, but I have feelings, so many feelings.
You're so handsome, I can't do it.
Yeah, and this lord who is basically neuroatypical, maybe a little on the spectrum. It's hard to tell because it's you know, Regency, so the words aren't there. But he's got, it is written as he has an anxiety disorder and has some sensory issues and things. And he's just but he's also an inventor, so he's got that sort of, you know, don't bother me, I'm playing with electricity and it might kill you, but, you know, let's work on this together.
And then electricity occurs.
Yes, then electricity occurs. It's and I love. I mean, this is the second book of Cats that I've written
You wish you'd written.
I actually wish I could write as good as she does. But I love Cat.
Let's see here. I finally got to read Victor Laval's The Ballad of Old Tom, who's Nebula nominated. I think he's here now. I think I saw, and I have. I think I might have met him maybe at a KGB reading or something, but I'm looking forward to chatting with him.
Yeah, he did a KGB reading not that long ago.
Yeah. And then I've also just started reading Megan Whalen-Turner's Thick as Thieves.
Let's see. I just got done reading China Mieville's Embassy Town, which
I
came
love
out.
Embassy Town.
And, you know, I had a really weird relationship to it, reading it, where for the first bit I hadn't fully comprehended that there are these timelines that aren't quite in sync with one another, which I really ought to have. That would have changed my experience of the book significantly. It comes together really brilliantly by the end, but there are definitely some points. I, too, like Callan, have been doing a lot of audiobooks where I sort of hate listening to it because I was angry at not understanding it the way I wanted to understand it. But I will say this. I don't know what it would be like to have read the book in print, but because the gimmick of the aliens, which are called Ariekis, is that they have two mouths that speak simultaneously and present a kind of joint consciousness, and there is a problem of humans interfacing with them conversationally because we have one mouth, and that is where all the consciousness is. And so one of the things that they do in the audiobook is when an Ariyaki speaks, they do an overdub of the audiobook narrator's voice over her own voice, so that you have that kind of deeply disorienting sense of what it would be like to hear an Ariyaki speak, which was pretty cool. And then after having been weirded out by China Mieville, I said to myself, I should read something that will not weird me out. And as proof that I sometimes make bad decisions, I then picked up The Dream Quest of Velette Bo. which is on the and when I say I make bad decisions, it is I am enjoying it. It is a well done novella. It belongs on the ballot where it is, but it is, you realize partway through, like, oh wait, this is Lovecraft, except from the perspective of people who live in the other worlds trying to get to our world, and like they have Gug architecture and you know, Zugmas and things, and it's And I'm like, oh, I made a bad choice. Like, this isn't,
this isn't any less weird.
This is not going to be less weird. This is not going to soothe my consciousness. So I think my plan is on the flight back to Chicago, I'm going to do a reread of Three Parts Dead, which is one of my kind of personal routine rereads. And that will reset the mechanism.
Nice. Well, thank you guys so much for staying for the recording. And
yeah, we really appreciate it. Great fun to, like, sort of replicate the experience of the Nebulous for our listeners.
And thank you very much. Have fun. Bye. Okay. Sweet.